There's a post from Armin Ronascher, the creator of Flask and Jinja 2, someone with serious credibility in the Python ecosystem, titled Better Models, Worse Tools, published July 4th, and it's sitting at 183 points with 64 comments. Ronascher's argument is counterintuitive but specific. As the underlying language models have gotten more capable, the developer tooling built around them has actually regressed. He's not saying AI coding tools are bad. He's saying they were in some ways better at an earlier, less capable model generation.
Walk me through the mechanism he's proposing, because that's the part I find genuinely surprising.
The core argument is about how tool designers respond to model capability. When models were weaker, tool designers had to think carefully about scaffolding. How do you structure the interaction so a less capable model can still produce useful output? They built explicit structure, careful prompting, constrained workflows. As models got stronger, there was a temptation to just hand the model more autonomy, remove the scaffolding, let the model figure it out. And paradoxically, you end up with a tool that feels less reliable, less predictable, harder to debug when it goes wrong, even though the underlying model is objectively better at each individual step.
That's a really interesting organizational dynamic. It's almost analogous to what happens in some companies when they hire extremely talented people. The management infrastructure that was built around less capable teams gets dismantled, and you end up with talented individuals operating in chaos rather than talented individuals operating with good process.
Ronascher's specific examples are worth noting. He talks about tool call reliability, about context management, about the way agentic frameworks have gotten more complex to configure even as they've gotten more powerful. Several HN commenters pushed back, arguing that the tools Ronascher prefers are simply the ones that match his workflow and that other developers find the newer, more autonomous tools more productive. That's a fair counter, but it doesn't fully address his underlying point about predictability.
This connects directly to the GPT 5.5 Codex performance degradation issue that surfaced this week. 292 points, 115 comments. The GitHub issue, filed against the OpenAI Codex repository, documents what appears to be a performance regression tied to reasoning token clustering. The claim is that GPT 5.5's chain of thought reasoning tokens are being grouped or processed in a way that degrades output quality for certain coding tasks.
The technical details here are still being worked out in the thread, but the pattern is recognizable. Reasoning models, models that internally generate intermediate thinking steps before producing output, have a known failure mode where the reasoning process can reinforce incorrect assumptions rather than correct them. If the clustering behavior is compressing or deduplicating reasoning tokens in a way that shortcuts the actual reasoning chain, you'd expect to see exactly the kind of regression that users are reporting. Confident-sounding output that's subtly wrong in ways that are hard to catch without careful testing.
And from a business perspective, this matters because OpenAI has positioned Codex as a flagship developer product. GPT 5.5 was supposed to represent a meaningful step up in coding capability. If a significant subset of real-world coding tasks are producing degraded output compared to an earlier model generation, that's not just a technical issue. It's a trust issue with a customer base that's already somewhat skeptical of vendor reliability.
The Schoolite Utils story is a different and more optimistic angle on AI-assisted development. Simon Willison, one of the most thoughtful voices in the Python open source community, published a post about developing SQLite Utils 4.0 Release Candidate 2, with the notable detail that the work was mostly written by Claude Fable, at a total cost of approximately $149.25. He itemized the costs, which is something very few AI-assisted project disclosures do.
That specificity is actually what makes this story interesting to me from a business angle. We've had a lot of abstract discourse about AI-assisted development productivity. Willison is doing something more empirically valuable. He's giving you a concrete data point. For a specific project, with a specific experienced developer guiding the AI, with a specific cost figure, you can start to reason about the actual economics.
The HN thread, 54 points, 58 comments, is a fascinating mix. Some commenters celebrate it as proof of concept for AI-augmented open-source maintenance, Others raise concerns about long-term maintainability. If the code is primarily AI-generated, does the maintainer fully understand every decision embedded in it? What happens when a subtle bug surfaces 2 years from now and the human maintainer has to reason through code they didn't write mentally? Willison himself engages with these concerns in the thread, which is one of the things that makes his posts worth reading. And there's The Log is the Agent, an ArcSiv paper arguing for a framework where structured execution logs serve as the foundational memory mechanism for AI agents. The basic insight is that current agent frameworks often have opaque internal state, which makes debugging and auditing nearly impossible. If you instead treat the log as the primary data structure, the thing the agent reads from and writes to, you get interpretability almost for free. It's a clean, systems thinking approach to a problem that a lot of current agent frameworks solve badly.